welcome, everybody. We have Judges 14 tonight, verses 12 to 20, Samson's riddle. And a riddle is a mystery. And as we look at what the Bible has to say about this event in the life of Samson and the demonstration of his faith, Cecil, would you open us in prayer tonight, please?
Grateful, Lord, that we can come to the one who is our all in all, the one who so richly blessed us and kept us, and so has, and Lord has given us even an abundance of rain, even as we've received these last few days. We're thankful for your love to us. Lord is beyond me. And Lord, as we enter into our service tonight, our worship time, as we gather around, we feel blessed because we are blessed because you've made us your people, and we're thankful tonight that we can come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we know that there is much to be learned here, even in this portion of Scripture tonight, for our love, for our good, and your love, and your glory. Thank you, Lord, for being so gracious, and again, Lord, we pray that you might speak to Brother Rick as he ministers to us. May the word come in clarity and in power, and we be receptive to that word, understanding and abiding the truth. Thank you, Lord, for your answered prayer on this past week, and we do thank tonight that Brother Tom and Judy and Lord, each one that's in need tonight, we are grateful that you do care for your people, and we ask that you might be especially careful. Have a special care upon them, encourage them, and may you be pleased to heal and strength. Again, Lord, we ask that you here in this meeting that you might speak to each of our hearts, and we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' precious name for your glory.
Amen. In Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul speaks of the mystery of the gospel and the revelation that God's message of salvation was intended not just for those of Hebrew background, but for the Gentiles as well. And we don't normally think of Samson as a type of Christ, and yet in many ways he is. And there are important spiritual principles and lessons to be learned from the life and the faith of Samson. So, Brother Tom, would you please read this passage tonight? It's Judges 14, verses 12 through 20.
And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? It is not so. Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her. because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend.
Amen. Thank you. A riddle is a mystery, something which is difficult to explain. And the scripture is pictured in many ways in the same fashion. Because though many intellectuals have sought to understand the Word of God, many wise men have sought to either understand it or even to deny it. It is necessary that we have the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God to truly understand the Word of God. It is a bottomless depth of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and spiritual truth. But we can not attain unto eternal life unless the Holy Spirit of God reveals our sin and lets us see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only possible way to salvation. So this is why we often sing that hymn. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. True wisdom comes only from God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the epitome of wisdom. So in this passage in Judges 14, we see the faith of Samson. We see the power of God working through him as the beginning of the judgment upon the Philistines. And thus we must understand that these events are recorded for our knowledge, for our edification, for our instruction. Paul told Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this certainly applies to even these, what might seem at first glance to be a peripheral fact or an insignificant incident in the life of Samson or in the events of the Old Testament. But God has recorded it for a reason. And these passages are here for our instruction, for our edification. This particular passage is a reminder to us, as he did throughout the life of Samson, that God is able to bring good out of evil. He uses even our mistakes, our failures, our shortcomings, our weaknesses, for his glory and ultimately for our good. And such was certainly the case on the island of Fiji on April 30th, the year 1854, a date on which missionary James Calvert celebrated with great joy upon hearing the sound of the drums on Fiji. That which had previously been a death knell, an announcement of cannibalism, from that point forward would be the sign and the call to worship. A mighty revival had taken place on the island, and many of the natives came to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cannibalism was abolished, and those instruments of death became the announcements of life. And such is the case with many of the things of the world which can be used for great good for the cause of the gospel. When Gutenberg invented the printing press and enabled mass printing and mass publication, that has been hijacked by the evil ones of this world to produce all kinds of sin. And yet, the translation and the mass printing of the scriptures in native languages to all peoples throughout the world has been a glorious aid to the spread of the gospel and to the instruction of God's people. Similarly, technology has been used for great wickedness, but it can be used also mightily for the sake of the gospel to reach remote areas to many people who might not otherwise have access to hearing of the Word of God. This passage in Judges 14, the celebration of the wedding between Samson and a Philistine woman. It involves the presentation of a riddle. First, we must note that this marriage, Samson saw a beautiful Philistine woman, and contrary to the general principle of Scripture that God's people should marry within the faith, that throughout the Old Testament the Hebrews were warned against intermingling with the peoples of Canaan, the great danger that they would be led off into idolatry and evil. Certainly was such the case with even wise King Solomon, who allowed himself to be distracted from the worship of the true God in the latter part of his life because of his many wives from foreign lands and his concubines. But as we read this passage, the scripture reminds us that this all occurred within the sovereign providence of the Lord. It was this occasion by which God used for Samson to have an opportunity to begin the execution of judgment and the beginning of the liberation of the Israelites from the control of the Philistines. This purpose of God in this entire process makes it clear that, unlike many, Samson was not really in danger of idolatry in this particular case. Yes, he had a roving eye. He had a tendency to selfishness at times. And he desired this Philistine woman. But to his credit, he sought the approval of his parents. He desired their approval, and he didn't proceed with his wedding plans until he had their begrudging consent. However, he did not heed their caution, where they sought to encourage him to marry a daughter of their own tribe, or at least of their own people. He chose this Philistine woman. And that leads to the not only these events here in this particular passage, but the execution of God's judgment upon the Philistines. And the riddle that he presented is a challenge. It was a form of entertainment that the Hebrews used rather than a marriage ceremony, the 7-day feasting be just eating and drinking to excess, as many people do today. They mingled the giving of riddles as a form of entertainment, as part of the ceremony, as part of the feast. This was later copied by the Greeks as well. But here, Solomon presents a riddle, and his 30 companions that had come to the wedding to help him celebrate eagerly anticipate the riddle. They challenge him to put it forth that they may hear it. The background of this riddle is, of course, the events that had occurred earlier as Samson was going to visit his bride-to-be. He encountered an attack from a strong young lion. And Samson, being a powerful young man, slew the lion. And he went on his way. He didn't boast of the incident. He didn't brag about how he had overcome a lion. He simply went on. And when he returned, he saw the carcass of the lion. And in the carcass, he found a beehive full of honey. He ate some of the honey and he took some of it back and gave some to his parents, sharing the blessing with them. But again, he did not brag of his exploits. He didn't tell them any details of where he had obtained the honey. And thus, now he comes to the riddle that he presents at the wedding feast. And he presents the riddle: from the eater came meat, and from the strong came sweetness. And this was such a riddle that it would have been completely impossible for them to guess the nature of the details of the solution to the riddle. They tried for 3 days without success in trying to explain it, trying to figure it out. This is a reminder to us again of the depth, the undiscernible nature of the scriptures, the word of God. It's necessary that we have the revelation of the Holy Spirit to comprehend. And these Philistines would have never guessed the solution had not been for their coercion of Samson's bride into telling the answer. There had been a great bet for the outcome of the riddle. Samson had pledged to give them 30 sheets, 30 fine linen shirts, and 30 outer garments, coats. And if they were unable to guess, then they must give him 30 linen shirts and 30 coats. And after trying unsuccessfully for 3 days to figure the solution to the riddle, the Philistines came to his wife and they demanded that she find the answer. The cruelty and the hostility of the Philistines is seen in this, because they threatened that if she could not deliver the answer, they would burn herself and her father's house with fire. They were murderous in their intent. And their vindictiveness is seen in the cruelty that they were willing to carry out upon her if she did not give them the answer. They accused her of complicity in the riddle, claiming that she and Samson desired to take their possessions. And this would have been a costly financial loss if they had been forced to provide such a lavish gift to Samson, if they were unable to guess the riddle. But this too is a principle for those inclined to gambling, that one should never gamble more than one is willing and able to pay. So the next verse seems perhaps a bit confusing. It mentions that they tried for 3 days to solve the riddle. And then it says on the seventh day, they went to his wife and they threatened her. Some understand this to be a reference to the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, as it fell on the fourth day of the wedding feast, that this was the day on which they, in their exasperation, went to her and threatened her to get the answer. Because the seventh day was approaching, the week-long wedding feast was halfway through, and they still did not have the solution to the riddle. So she wept, and she cried, and she lamented that he didn't love her, that in fact he hated her because he would not tell her the answer. And he objected that he had not even told his father and mother, and why should he tell her? But this didn't stop her weeping. It didn't prevent her from nagging. And finally, by the seventh day, It says she lay sore upon him. She nagged him to the point where he could not resist it any further, and he told her the solution. She immediately went to the Philistines and told them the answer. And thus, the men of the city came to him, and they said, "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" They had solved the riddle. They had won the bet. And Samson was rightly angry. He said that if they had not plowed with his heifer, if they had not intimidated her and induced her to compel him to give the answer, that they would have never figured out the solution to the riddle. And he went to Ashkelon, one of the five cities of the Philistines, and he slew 30 men and took their spoil. He took their fine clothing and their outer garments, their coats, and he gave it unto the men who had successfully obtained the answer to the riddle. And then he, in his anger, returned to his father's house. And the scripture says that his father-in-law gave his wife to another companion from the wedding. He went back to his father's house. And this too is symbolic in that he left their presence. He returned to his father's house. And how we as Christians ought to turn away from the disappointments and the temptations of this world and spend more time in our Father's house in the company of our Lord and Savior. Samson serves as a bit of a type of Christ, though an imperfect type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus. Because even the Lord Jesus gave up his heavenly throne. And he came into this fallen world. He took upon himself flesh. He endured the rejection and the temptations of this fallen world. He endured the hostility of those who hated him and rejected him. He was falsely accused, and he shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary. He met death to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. And he rose from the dead to prove his true identity, to accomplish the victory over sin and death and hell. He endured criticism in that he associated with publicans and sinners rather than the religious elites of his day, so that some might be saved. And thus, Samson, in a way, by his entering into this marriage, one which would have been discouraged, certainly, on biblical terms. And yet God used it for his glory and ultimately for the accomplishment of his purpose. As even in the previous chapter, he had foretold that Samson would begin to deliver his people from the control of the Philistines. God uses all such things to accomplish his purpose so that his sovereign will might come to pass. And thus, the occurrence of this marriage feast fell within the providence of God, and he accomplished his purpose in the life of Samson. Samson lived a life of faith. He had his flaws, no doubt, but he was committed to doing the will of the Lord. We read here that the Spirit of God came upon him as he carried out his vengeance upon the Philistines. And this too would not have occurred had it not been within the sovereign purpose of God. We are reminded that without Christ, we could do nothing. And thus, Samson was energized and enabled by the Spirit of God to begin the execution of judgment upon the wicked Philistines. the Philistines did not attack Israel in the conventional way. They did not amass armies and come and fight. They instead used intimidation and terror tactics to suppress them and to control. And in a sense, it is perhaps fitting that God used Samson in such a countermeasure, a counterattack, to begin the process of throwing off that 40-year-long reign of terror, the oppression by the wicked Philistines. This passage reminds us of the sovereignty of God. It reminds us of His divine judgment, for He will ultimately hold all of the wicked accountable for their evil deeds. The Philistines eventually burned Samson's wife and her father's house, as they had threatened to do. In response for Samson's retaliation for the way in which they had secured the information, the solution to the riddle. So even by her efforts to plead and to weep and to nag, she did not save herself as she had hoped. But this was part of the process of Samson's life. It was one of the many incidents in which he began to carry out God's judgment upon the Philistines. But it would not be the last time that he was enticed and that he fell prey to his tendency to reveal that which he should not have done. For years later, he fell in love with another beautiful Philistine by the name of Delilah. And she, at the instigation of the other Philistines, desired to know the source of his strength. And though he initially resisted, he eventually gave in. And he told her that the source of his power, the indwelling presence of the power of God, came because of his Nazarite vows, his uncut hair. And while he was sleeping, she had it cut off. He was then captured and blinded and put into service in the mills of the Philistines, forced to grind grain. But his hair grew back, and he eventually was brought before the assembly of the lords of the Philistines in a great arena. They were having a celebration to their great god Dagon, praising him for having delivered Samson into their power. And Samson was brought before this mass of idol worshippers, those who were mocking him for having been blinded and captured. And he prayed unto the Lord for one last bit of strength to tear down the pillars that supported the central portion of the building. And he was enabled by the Spirit of God to tear down those pillars, causing the entire arena to collapse and killing more in his death than he had throughout the 20 years of his tenure as judge of Israel. Even this has led to skepticism on the part of many. Many modern so-called scholars, pseudoscientists, false historians, those who deny the truth of scriptures have seized upon this to say that it's totally impossible that this could be historical fact, that it's nothing more than a Jewish myth and legend. But as has often been the case, archaeology has proven the truth of many of the accounts of scripture. Those things which have been denied by the intellectuals and the modern philosophies of this world. In the 1970s, they discovered the ruins of a Philistine temple. And it had, to their amazement, to their shock, it had two central pillars that had supported the center portion of the building. The argument of the modernists was that no temples of that period were constructed in such a way that there were two central pillars supporting the building, and yet they found it in what is now the modern city of Israel, Tel Aviv. In the 1990s, they found another one in the Philistine city of Ekron. They discovered another temple constructed in the same manner, with wooden pillars in the center, sitting upon a base of stones. A construction that could have easily been brought down by a powerful man such as Samson, particularly if empowered by the Spirit of God. Archaeologists have not yet discovered the larger temple that existed at Gath, the location of the death of Samson. It was believed to be a much larger temple than the other two that have thus far been excavated. But nevertheless, it would have likely had the same pattern, the same design, and therefore it too probably had the two central pillars, exactly as the Bible describes. So as this, with many other occasions, modern archaeology has proven many of the accounts of the Bible that have been long thought to be myths and legends, suddenly they have come to be realized as truth. So, as we reflect on the life of Samson and how God used him for the accomplishment of his purpose, the power of the Spirit of God that came upon him from time to time and enabled him to execute vengeance upon the Philistines, to fulfill the prophecy that had been given to his parents at the time of his birth, to help us to realize that God is still alive and well. He's still at work in the affairs of men, and he's still accomplishing his purpose. May we not be distracted by the objections of the unfaithful, by the wicked who deny and to seek to destroy the credibility of the Word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. May we always hold fast to the truth that is revealed in the Scriptures. May we not fall to compromise and to distraction by the ways of the men and the demons who would seek to deny it. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding sin?